Alrighty, I want to thank you all for coming out today to today's message. As we celebrate this holiday today, the message the Lord laid on my heart ties in with Independence Day. And that means sometimes a lot of different things to people about, you know, what it means to be free. And we're going to look at it from several different angles today with some different things the Lord showed me. Like I said, different people have a different perspective on freedom. To a teenager, it might be mom and dad not telling them what to do anymore. They might consider that freedom. To someone who hates their job, it might be starting their own business and working for themselves. Someone who's maybe battling addiction in life, and you know many are, it might be taking the ability to take control back of your life. And today, we're going to try to look at freedom means to be independent as well as dependent. Because I think it, as we grow, we're going to kind of see what that means. The scripture the Lord laid on my heart is 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's verse 16 to 17. It says, "Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the King." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for all the great and mighty things that you're doing in each of our lives. Lord, I thank you so much for the precious Holy Spirit to be here and that anointing. It is anointing that sets us free. You can do in a second what takes man years to accomplish. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, when I was thinking about loving the brotherhood, or the brethren it talks about here, and how important that is, it reminds me of a story that I heard about a Sunday school teacher. And a Sunday school teacher, you know, was teaching her class, and she was going into teaching about heaven, you know, what heaven's going to be like, and, you know, how it's a great, and you know, streets of gold, and all the precious things are going to be there. And she asked everybody in the class, well, how many wants to go to heaven? Well, everybody raised their hand except for one little boy named Billy. And she says, "Billy, don't you want to go to heaven?" He says, "Yeah, but not with these guys." So he didn't really love the brotherhood. And see, that's what part of being a Christian is all about. Now, as we celebrate, you know, this holiday, growing up as a kid, you know, I really enjoyed the 4th of July because being raised on a farm, you know, we went out and had fun stuff to do, but, you know, it was a time where we usually went to the lake, we had a picnic, and, you know, got to go swimming and things like that. So it was always a special holiday, and as well as the fireworks and all those things, and, you know, just really enjoyed it. But as you get older, you start thinking about really what independence is all about and how important that is. You know, we celebrate our national independence, and as we know what that really means, you know, usually it does come back down to parties and things like this, but our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence, and that's what we're really celebrating at this time. It was signed on July 4th, 1776. Now, also, another document was signed, but it wasn't signed until a little bit later, and that was called the Constitution. Now, what I see is the Declaration is the what, and the Constitution is the how. Because the Constitution wasn't signed until 1787 on September the 17th. Now, so the Declaration of Independence told everybody what we're going to do, and then the Constitution was written to show us how we were going to accomplish these things later, how we was going to try to keep our country great and keep it strong. Now, sometimes those things get kind of mixed up. Because what happened back in that day was a group of people got together. And it's always good when we can get together. And they really believed that they should be able to govern themselves locally instead of a government governing them a long ways away. They really thought it would be better in a local situation. And I think a lot of people believe the same way. They felt that God had given them the right to be able to make their own choices. And I think we all want that right where we can make our own choices rather than government making all the decisions for us. And sometimes, you know, it's easy just to put in our mind when we talk about, you know, us going to war against England, that we just think that the only people that were fighting was us against the English nation. But also, what was living here was some people didn't want to leave England. They wanted to stay under government control from another nation. And so that was kind of going on too, and how to straighten some of those things out. And the sad thing is, we still have that going on today. That same kind of mindset, where certain people feel that, you know, maybe government can make a better decision for them than they can for themselves. And like I say, that war is still raging. Now, struggle comes at a high price. It does. Anytime that you decide that you want to be free, that you want to be able to take control of your life and not just go with the status quo and try to fit in, but you feel that God has given you that right to be able to make your choices where you don't have to bow your knee, shall we say, to some other force, you know, things start to change a little bit. Now, what I found out in life, that when we have skin in the game, we fight a little harder, right? You'll probably fight for your personal freedom a little harder than you'll fight for the freedom of somebody else. And it's rightfully so. That's just how it works, human nature. So that's why the people that were living in this country that wanted that kind of freedom, you know, and they really prayed and depended on God. I'm not saying the other group didn't either. But, you know, they really prayed and they felt God had his hand upon them to do something great. And maybe you're here today and you feel that God has his hand upon you and that you're supposed to do something great. Well, I'll tell you, there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to deal with because there's forces around you that are going to try to hold you back. And it all depends on how bad you really want it. And that's what it comes down to. But good news is God will give us the grace and God will give us the power that we need to be able to overcome these obstacles. And that struggle is just part of it. Now, I believe that many have given their lives to be able to both obtain and to maintain our freedom. And it's really two different things. I really feel in life sometimes it's easier to obtain something than it is to maintain it. Because not everybody can go into maintenance mode because you kind of lull yourself to sleep. And when you do that, you start to allow certain things to come in. You know, when you actually want to go after something, you work a little harder. But then when you get it, then sometimes you pull back the reins a little bit. And see, that's what's going on, I think, sometimes in our lives. You know, and especially when it comes to our country. You know, there's two kinds of people it takes to keep freedom going. Number one, there's people who are willing to die for freedom. And we've had a lot of people that have given their life for freedom. All the way back into the Revolutionary War when, you know, General Washington and all his troops were willing to fight against a group that was, you know, considered back at that time one of the greatest militaries, or at least shipping, or the, you know, the boats or whatever I'm trying to say right now. Navy, yes, back at that time. And, you know, and this little small group of people just thought they could do it. And so they gave their lives. And all through our history as a nation, many have laid their life down. So we have soldiers and also another group of people that sometimes we neglect. We have the police. You know, those people, they lay their lives down sometimes to keep our freedom going and being able to do that. We should thank them. Now, not only is there people that lay down their life, but I think there's also people that will, you know, live their life for freedom. And we forget about that. There's a certain group of people in our great land that are willing to endure self-sacrifice for the betterment of others in their life. And we need to be thankful for that. So you need people that are willing to die, but also you need people that are willing to live for freedom. And that's important. We need to take that on in our mind, that we're willing to want to, you know, we don't have to obtain it for the most part now, but we need to maintain our freedoms. And we need to be involved in that process of what it means. Because our country was founded on such great principles. And it's important that we don't take those for granted. And if we do, then there's a good chance of losing those. Now, we all know the person that, you know, did the greatest thing for us, and that's Jesus Christ. When he came, and then he gave his life to purchase our freedom back from the devil. Because you and I were in the bondage of sin. And sin is an evil master. It's like an addiction, and it is. It controls our life, and it holds us in bondage. But Jesus Christ came because he wanted to set us free. He was free as they get. He had no problems. He had no bondage. But he chose to lay his life down to obtain our freedom spiritually. And that's something that's not automatic. It's something we need to ask for. It's something that we need to receive. It's something that we need to possess to make it a part of our life. And then we need to also live out that freedom by not choosing to bow our knee again to that evil taskmaster, the devil. Because he's always wanting to hold us back. He's always wanting to try to destroy our lives. Now, the scripture talked about act as free men. So evidently, there must be some motion that's involved in freedom. You know, a lot of times, especially us men in marriage, I think sometimes we think we're doing something, but we're not. You know, maybe we need to act it out. Maybe we don't, you know, we think we're, you know, being a better husband. I know I do than I really am sometimes. I have a lot of good ideas as a husband what I can do for my wife. I mean, a lot of them. I just should write some of them down. And then I need to go do them. A to-do list. But see, we need to act free. And I think as we contemplate that and what it really means, because it takes courage. It takes courage to be free. Because there's going to be that struggle. There's going to be that price. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I remember that decision that I made that I wanted to step out from the crowd and not be a part of the problem anymore and start to be a part of the solution. And, you know, knowing that maybe some people might make fun of you. Whoopee. We have our brothers and sisters overseas right now being martyred. You know, so the step that we make when we maybe step out of the chairs and walk that aisle to surrender our life to Christ is really a small price to pay compared to some of our other brothers and sisters in the Lord. But it does take that courage. And we do need to stand against that slave master, which is Satan. Because he's trying to hold us back. And just because you get saved and you get freed up a little bit doesn't mean Satan's going to try to let go of you. He's going to continually try to get his hooks in you, so we need to be wise about that. Now, what I found out, and this is the way that it works the best, a lot of times religion will try to, and we try to change. You know, I remember trying to change myself several times before I actually surrendered my life to Christ. I knew I had some problems. I knew I had some issues that weren't really the way that I wanted them to go. And so then I started a self-help program. Amen? How many's done a self-help program where you try to help yourself? Well, I did, but it didn't really work. I could go so far. But then finally, when I started to understand things, I started to attend church, and I started to pay attention. Amen? Sometimes you just got to pay attention. You might learn something. Well, I started to pay attention, and they started to talk about a relationship. A relationship with God. And that was just kind of out there for me. You know, that God, you know, I figured God was kind of busy. You know what I mean? He had a lot going on. But yet I found out that God had time for me. And so then what I found out was when I gave my life to Christ, he come to live inside of me. And I had always been trying to be free on the outside when I wasn't free on the inside. But once I became free on the inside, I could become free on the outside. And that's how it really worked. And that's when he started to deliver me from the power of Satan trying to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And it was really quite simple. You know, I believe salvation is just a revelation away. You know, it's just one revelation from God that can totally change the dynamic and everything our life is and what it stands for. So it's important that we come to that place. Because I think that if we let Jesus fix our motivation, he can fix our actions. So if we let Jesus fix our motivation, he can fix our actions. So what's our motivations? See, he can turn those things around, and it's a life-changing experience. What I found out, sometimes as a kid growing up, there's certain things I had to do, right? You know, you have to go take care of the pigs, you know, and you have to go feed the cattle. You have to go, you know, put in the crops. You got to, and some of that stuff I enjoyed. But I'll be honest, you know, that was way before VCR recorders, and maybe some of you don't know what those are, but that's, you know, that's some things you had to record with back in the day, but they never came out till later in my life. You know, if your favorite TV, I know this is a foreign concept, but if your favorite TV show came on, you had no way of recording it. And they didn't really replay it that I remember very often. So it was a bummer as a kid if your favorite show came on and you had to go out and do chores or something. So I looked at it, I got to. But see, that's what a lot of Christians look at. I got to do this, I got to do that. But see, if we let him fix our motivation, we look at it as I get to or I want to. So Jesus can change our got to our get to. And that's what that relationship is with Jesus Christ, the loving relationship between, you know, us and our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at that, personal freedom is a big thing to our country, and we pride ourselves on it. But sometimes it can be a drawback if we let it become the next thing, which is independent. First, we looked at independence. Now we're looking at what it means to be independent. And that's a different concept to some degree. Now, most of us would like to say, yeah, I'm an independent person, right? I don't need nobody. I'm good. You know, I can handle it. I can do it on my own. So we like to think of ourselves in that way. And I believe that our society, for the most part, is based on that free will choice that you can actually choose your own path. For the most part, you can actually choose your destiny on who you want to become within reason. You know I could never be a brain surgeon. You know what I mean? I just don't have that desire. I don't have that smartness, shall we say, and that's all good. But for the most part, you can choose what you want to be. Now, that's good. But if we allow that independent thought or attitude to come into our life so much, you know, we can take it too far. And that's when we start to get in danger area as a Christian. You know, in verse 16, it says that you don't use your freedom as a covering for evil. See, if we use our freedom in Christ as a covering for evil, the truth is we're not really free from sin. Because that sin is still operating in our life. Because sin doesn't want to submit itself to God. But when you're free, you have a totally different way of looking at it and how it works. You know, that you can't tell me what to do attitude, you know, will lead us away from God. Now, we are not independent of, but we're independent to, and I want to get us to that point. We're not independent of, but we're independent so that we can do things. And if we look at that, you know, we should not be looking for a low commitment, high reward life. And that's what's wrong with our culture today. We have a lot of people with very little skin in the game believing they need a high reward back. And that's not really the proper way of doing things. So we need to get back to the place where it's not what's in it for me, but what's in it for we. And we need to start to see the big picture and really what God is trying to do. You know, one thing that I read a quote, it says that liberty is not freedom from responsibility. And we are responsible for each and every person around here. And that brings me to my next point of interdependence. I want to see what it means to be interdependent. So we looked at independence, independent, now interdependence. And that's good. You know, we're all in this together. Our journey that we take, some of us are going to take a similar journey through this life. God has brought us together for a purpose. And he has brought us here for a reason to be able to accomplish things together. And we need to see it like that. Instead of it's just me and God, or God and me, it's we. And that's how he wants us to flow. You know, there's two kinds of relationships that you and I need to deal with, primarily. And that's horizontal, which is talking about people. You know, we need to be very good at our relational aspect of where we get along with others and be able to work together as a team to function. And then there's also the vertical, and that's talking about our relationship with God. We need to make sure that's always clear, that we're always really following and functioning and doing everything that He's called us to do. Now, there's two words that we use in life today, especially if you're in the psychology, which most of us probably are not, but I want to flip a little big, couple big words on you, okay? One of them we already did. We have codependency and we have interdependency. They sound similar, but they have different meanings. Now, codependency is a thing where someone needs somebody else to get along, and that's not healthy. You know, if you're in a relationship and the situation is where you can't get along without that other person, or that other person can't get along without you, then that's an unhealthy relationship. And it usually turns into manipulation and control. And that's dangerous. Now, there's the other way of looking at it, which is interdependency. And what this means is two functioning people that choose to work together for the better good. And that's what we need. We need interdependency. Hopefully, all our marriages are like this. Now, not all of them are. Some marriages are built around codependency on one part or the other. But if we get to the place of interdependency, especially as a church and a group of Christians that choose to work together and want to walk out this life together, then we can accomplish great things. I read a story and heard it, and I think it's mostly pretty right on. I don't have a horse to test it, so Charles might know a little bit more about it. He works with the Amish a little bit sometimes. But it said that one horse, when you hook it up to some weights, that one horse can pull 9,000 pounds. That's a lot. That's a lot of weight. Well, let's say you're a very good entrepreneur, you know, and you want to double your output. So you, with your lightning-quick intellect, would say, hey, if I buy another horse, and we're talking a fairly good-sized horse here, people. We're not talking a pony. If I buy a second horse, I won't be able to just do 9,000. I'll be able to do 18,000. So I'll double my production. Ain't wrong. That's not how it works. It's been proven that when you hook two horses together, they don't pull 18,000. They pull 27,000. They don't just double their productivity, but it's exponential. And see, that's what happens when you and I choose to hook up with somebody else and want to work together for the good. And that's what happened that helped our great nation start when a group of people went against all odds and everything that was coming against them. It didn't look logical for them to rebel against England, a bigger nation that had more firepower. But yeah, when they hooked their faith together, they accomplished something great. And I want us to see that if we choose to be interdependent on each other, meaning we come as two free choosing individuals and we choose to hook up together, to work together, we're going to accomplish great things and be able to see great things happen in this world. And that leads me to my last point, which is getting us to the point of dependence. Dependence. I know we started off with independence. We looked at that, and we looked at independent and interdependence. But now I want to look at this. The Scripture goes into saying that we become a bond slave of God. A bond slave. Now, that's a pretty rough job when you're a bond slave. But what happens is that when you choose to be a bond slave, you know, Jesus isn't going to make you do this. But this is something I encourage us to do. This is the next step in that kind of relationship. You know, a lot of people come to Christ and they just don't want to go to hell. And that's good. You should not want to go to hell. But there's more to that relationship. There's more to that connection than eternal or your security in the future. But I want us to see the relationship now that we have with Christ. You know, we take our freedom that Christ Jesus purchased for us. And he says, you know, let's say you're on the slave trading block and you've been captured by somebody and you're going to be forced into labor. You're there and they're just all these, I mean, it'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Everybody in the room is bidding on you, right? And they're bidding different money prices and it keeps going up, or hopefully it does, right? Amen. How many want to go for the highest price? I think we all would. But anyway, you know, they're bidding on you, and then finally somebody that you don't know buys you. And then they walk up to you and you just figure they're going to slap the chains on you, right? And going to lead you off to the field. But this guy comes up to you and takes the chain off. And he says, here, go free. I don't know what that'd do to you, but that'd be pretty awesome. You know, and what happens, there's a story in the book of Exodus, you know, found in chapter 21. It talks about a man, and it goes into different situations there, what can happen. That if you're a Hebrew, meaning of the Jewish nation, and that for some reason you are poor or whatever, and you get sold into slavery. If you're a man, you go and work for 6 years, and then in the seventh year, you get to go free. Now, the foreigners would never get that, but this is because you're part of the nation. So you work six, you go free. Now, if you go into slavery and you have a wife, well, then you and her both get to go free. But if you're sold into slavery and the master gives you a wife and you have children, after the 6 years, you go free, but they have to stay. You ought to walk away. But you're free. You have that choice to do so. You can go start all over. Do whatever you want. But if you love your master, you love your wife, and you love your children, you have a choice. You can go to that master and say, I will serve you. I want to stay with my family. You will give up all your freedom, all your opportunity to go free. And the master will come and he'll lead you over to a doorpost. And he will take an awl, A-W-L, and he will put the awl through your earlobe. And that's a mark that you have chosen not to be free, but you have chosen to be his slave by an act of your will. And see, Jesus Christ has come to purchase our freedom so that we can have all the freedoms and all the blessings, you know, that come with that. But yet with that freedom, we have a choice. We can choose to come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. And we become his bond slave, a slave for Christ. But I'll be honest with you. The freest that you're ever going to be is to be a slave for Christ. That's the freest you'll ever be in your life. Because Jesus Christ will come in and he'll take control of your life. And you'll start to walk with him and start to flow with him and give you the experiences that he wants you to have. And that freedom is very powerful because you're going to be free on the inside. It doesn't matter if you're free on the outside if you're not free on the inside. And that's why Jesus came. He came to set us free. So God is looking for willing servants. He's looking for those who will say, yes, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And we surrender, you know, to him. Now, a lot of people in our culture look at surrender as a place of defeat. But see, what I see is when we surrender to Christ, we choose to walk in his victory. And the victory that he purchased. It's nothing that we have to no longer fight for. We don't have to continually try to fix ourselves. But Jesus Christ will come in and take control. So in closing, I want to say that as we celebrate our independence, I would like you to declare your dependence on Almighty God today. Amen? Let's pray.